Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to get the ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. We are talking to Alex Mondozian. This is part three of a four-part interview series that I did with him. Got on the phone, talked to this gentleman who is an internet multi-millionaire, considered the Warren Buffett of the internet. And the most amazing part about it is that he runs his multi-million dollar company right out of his home. So being at this level of success, he's extremely busy as a professional speaker who travels all over the world and runs his business at the same time and is a father to his children and a husband to his wife. Why I'm bringing him to your show is because he's sharing some amazing tips for how to get it all done despite being a very, 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 very busy person. I know you could use those tips because I'm sure things get really busy in your life, and I can't think of anybody better who's figured out strategies and tactics for being able to pull that off. Now, I'm going to mention that since I did mention it in previous episodes, but in case you haven't listened to the first two parts of this interview series, he is not vegan, but it doesn't matter because the tips that he's sharing with you on this show are independent of any food or eating preference. And I want you to be able to get this information. Now, I do want to mention, though, is Alex has his own experience, and this is exactly what he shares. He's going to share his experience and his views and philosophies, and they might not necessarily be the same ones that this show or we believe in. And they're going to come in here and there. I don't want you to let that distract you. I'm going to leave the call unedited so you can hear what his views are, and I'm going to challenge you if there's anything in there that seem interesting or curious or may be something that you don't agree with. I'm going to challenge you to do the research on your own and discover from your own standpoint what you feel is true or what's going to work for you. And of course, you can always contact me, send me an email if there's any viewpoint that you have, and leave a comment as well on the episode, on the blog, and let us know what you're thinking. Okay, you can always send me an email at tom@veganbodyrevolution.com. In this call, Alex describes his daily workout routine. We're talking about reps, sets, the exercises he chooses, and a few other details that are very unique about how he stays in such amazing shape, keeps his six-pack despite being an extremely busy person. Here's the call. Enjoy.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, so let's go into some fitness programming and nutrition tips.
Well, let me tell you, before we depart from this question, if you have one day to live, I guarantee you food is not a priority. See? And so when food is not a priority, then you don't think about overeating anymore. If you have one day to live, food is not at the top of the food chain of what you want to do that day.
You're absolutely right.
So when you minimize the importance and permanence food has in your life, because food can be a drug to move away from feeling bad or not having a good day. It could be a nice distraction if the day's not going the way you want it to go, or you want to feel different. It's a great excuse for a state change. But if it's your final day to live, food is not going to have the priority that it does right now. And so that is the key to the process. It's not just being sharp and wanting to eat healthy. You don't even think about eating. Forget eating healthy. It's your final day on earth, man. And so if you did that day after day after day, food does not have the same definition and connection in your mind that it does right now if it's a problem. And that's how you make the shift.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's brilliant for anybody who feels that they don't want to eat healthy because they don't want to give up all their favorite food that might not be so healthy. I think this exercise will just help really put it in perspective what's truly important. Maybe you'll discover if you're addicted to food and you find yourself continually eating the foods that you know aren't making you healthier, they're making you worse, that try this exercise and see if it really has as much importance as you think it does.
Well, it takes the obsession away from you, and it makes you focused on other people. It's really a cool way to just at least, go through a week. You can try it for a week and see just, what happens. So anyway,
Alex is brilliant.
We can move on.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure thing.
All right. Let's talk about your workout routine. So you know you're in great shape now, and we want to know what does your workout routine look like?
All right. So I get out of bed. I have my alarm. I do my 48 push-ups. Then I go in the kitchen. I make some tea. I do green tea. Just I don't like coffee for whatever reason. I do some more push-ups. So I got 100 push-ups within the first half hour. Then I go and I work out. I work for about 50 minutes. And I have a countdown timer, and I teach this with
48 minutes, right?
50 minutes. I do a countdown timer. Sometimes 48, okay. But under an hour always. And that will typically it'll be between 5:30 to 6:20, in that range, because I like to have one prime time productivity hour before my morning huddle, and I have a huddle every day at 6:30 a.m. And we have a virtual company, so people are all over the country, so it's 6:30 my time. I have one person who lives on the Pacific Coast with me. He's an early riser, so he has no problem with the 6:30 call as well. And so I've already done a power hour. I already have, 100 push-ups. Actually, I've done 150 because after I do that power hour and prime time productivity, 50-minute session, I do, for my break, I do 48 more push-ups.
Nice. So you got 48 already in. That's awesome.
Yeah, I do that. So now I got 150 push-ups that I've snuck in. I don't even think about it until you're asking me to talk about it. And then by 6:30, I feel alive. I'm sharp. I've already done some great work. I feel good about that. I feel good about being productive. When I'm not productive, that ruins my mood. Okay? Maybe I'm shallow, but it ruins my mood. I'm in a crappy mood if I'm not productive. If I don't have a productive day, if I have messes to clean, and if my environment is messy, I'm not anal with my environment, but if it's just messy, it just impacts my mood, and food is no different. If I have a messy food day and, what's going in my body is not, what I'm proud of, then, that impacts my mood as well. So typically I've done almost 150 push-ups by 6:30. I have my meeting that lasts about half an hour, and then I go into some more productivity time. Unless I'm cooking breakfast for the kids, which I do twice a week, and that's fun. So that goes from about 7 a.m. to 7:45. The kids go off to school. They go to private school. Carpool picks them up at around 7:45 sharp. They're off, and then I go back and, I start to work or I read. And I like to read, about an hour in the morning. It's usually something business or marketing related. And then I dive into the rest of the day. And sometime around 9:30 or 10, it's in my schedule. I use Google Calendar. I have an hour and a half, typically I think it's 10 to 11:30. It depends on the day. That's my workout time. So it's an hour and a half, but I'm really working out for about 50 minutes.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the time is, showering and cleaning up and preparing to go into the gym. So when I go into the gym, the first thing I do is for 13 minutes, I'm on the treadmill or I'm on the, ski exerciser. And I crank it up. I warm up for about 2 minutes and I am sweating bullets, by the time I'm done. And then
Are you doing intervals on it?
I'm doing interval training, yeah. Now, I do something that's really interesting. I never, ever, ever warm down. What I do is after I'm done, I stop. I sit on my back on a bench, like for bench press. I just sit on my back, and all I do is I breathe. And actually, John Gray, who's I'm in a men's group with him once a month, he taught me that if you don't warm down, if you just stop, your body is playing a trick on itself and says, hey, this guy stopped. Rather than burning sugar, it burns fat. If you warm down, the body hasn't stopped, so it's still burning sugar. Well, if you want to burn fat, you just stop, and you breathe heavily, you're perspiring more, try working out really hard, and then you just stop, right? And all of a sudden, you put enough of those days together, and you look great, because it truly does.
By just stopping.
By just stopping. What's happening is, you know, your body is actually going after the fat versus sugar. You know, the fat is there for reserve, and the fat's not getting burned. I mean, this is clinically tested. You're not burning fat if you're warming down because your body's still working out. So, hey, I need the reserves, it's saying to itself. But if you've stopped, what happens is you perspire more, and I just breathe it out. It takes about 3-4 minutes to wind down, and I know in my mind I'm burning fat, and that feels kind of good. And then I go and I do my body work, and I work with weights. And I typically do power sets of, you know, 4 sets apiece, and I will do 5 sets or 4 sets of each exercise, and I'll end up doing somewhere around 24 sets when all is said and done. It takes me about, you know, 50 minutes. So one day is back and biceps. I just work on my back and my biceps. Another day is shoulders and chest. I just work on shoulders and chest. What's the difference? Back and bis, that's where you're pulling. Shoulders and chest, that's where you're pushing. So push-up is shoulders and chest. Doing a pull-up or chin-up and doing bicep curls, that's, you know, that's back and by. And then I'll do a leg day. So I do, you know, one day back and by, one day shoulders and chest, one day legs, which most people just ignore their legs. But, you know, I do that in rotation. And I do that 6 days a week. So,
okay, so you got a nice split. You get all of your body parts in by over
totally,
a week.
Totally. And what I do is I listen to my iPod, and I'm listening to books on tape. So today I listen to the teachings of Confucius. Other times I've listened to books. So I'll go through in a week. I'll go through maybe 2 books on tape. I don't listen to music.
What do you listen to books? What kind of reps and rep ranges do you use when you're doing your exercises for your body parts?
What I'll do is I'll start with a lower weight, and I'll do somewhere between 12 and 16 reps for warm-up. And then the least I'll ever do is 8. I'd like to be somewhere in the 10 to, you know, 14 range, because I don't like building muscle. I like lean, you know, dense muscle mass. And every once in a while, I'll get on this kick for 3 months, and this is maybe getting too detailed, but I'll do what's called the hundreds workout. And this is, I don't suggest for anyone to do this, but you do 100 reps real fast, and it sucks, man. It is so hard. You need a partner. And you end up doing maybe 70 or 80 reps, but, you know, real small weight, and you go bump, 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 really, 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 really fast, and it grows muscle density like you would not believe. It's called hundreds. I learned it from a buddy of mine. And I hate that workout because it's just not fun, and I can't listen to my book on tape or my book on, you know, iPod as easily because I'm thinking about
the
pain.
That's burn like all hell when you're doing
it. It does. It does, but
it's
really cool.
Because it's right? You're not putting the weight down at all. It's nonstop.
No.
For the whole 100 reps, right?
It's one set,
100 reps.
Yeah, one set.
Damn.
And then, you know, you go on to the next exercise. And it's kind of like yoga. You know, if you do yoga, and especially Kundalini yoga, where there's a breath of fire and you're holding
breath
a pose
fire,
for a
yeah,
while,
absolutely.
It hurts. It hurts. And so I like to do that maybe, you know, 2 or 3 times a year over the course of a couple weeks just to break things up because your muscles get used to, you know, the exercise. But I think the most important piece of advice I can give anyone listening, recommendation, is mix up your workout. Do different types of exercises so you don't get bored. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in my life, in my experience, boredom is the enemy number one for keeping in shape. Boredom of exercise, boredom of diet, boredom of, you know, staying in shape, just boredom. It's the antichrist. It's the enemy of being in shape. And so I just like to mix up the exercises every few weeks so I don't get bored.
Agreed. So the next question I have for you is, what are your rest intervals like between your sets when you're doing your normal weight training routine?
That's a good question. What I'll do is I'll work through a set, and I'll do supersets, so I don't rest in between the machines. So I'm getting cardio at the same time. And then if I'll do a set of 4 machines, or I'll do free weights, and in between, you know, I'll do four sets of four different machines. So today, I was doing, with dumbbells, I was doing, bench press, you know, with the dumbbells. It's nice because you isolate, you know, both arms. Then I went straight to a Nautilus machine where I was doing a chest exercise. Then I was doing a, you know, with a bar, I was pulling up. I was doing a shoulder exercise. And then I was doing a tricep exercise. So I was doing the entire, you know, arm and chest area in the front. And there were four exercises. That's one set. I take a break for about 2 minutes. I don't really time it, but it seems like it's about 2 minutes, and then I go into the set again. So I go one machine to the next to try to get cardio, because that's the toughest thing is getting cardio when you're lifting. And I'll go one to the next, and then I'll take a break in between the circuit, you know. And
yeah.
It seems to work.
Oh, great. So your whole workout, so with the 13-minute interval cardio warm up, you jump right into your weights. That whole thing takes 50 minutes, and you're out of the gym.
I'm out of the gym. Actually, that whole thing takes about 40 minutes because I'm doing cardio for 10, right? So I'm in and out. I don't spend hours there. I don't spend recovering. You know how you see people doing bench press and then they wait for 5 minutes and they do a bunch of crap in between. I don't do any of that. I'm always lifting. And so I don't take any breaks until I'm done with this.
You said for the two-minute break after each giant set or each circuit.
Yeah, between each circuit, I take like about a two-minute break where I'm walking around, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm always moving. And, you know, I just don't understand people doing sets like I see people want to bulk up. I understand it. I understand the way it works. But they'll do bench press, and they'll max out with four or five repetitions, and then they'll take a break for like 3 minutes, right? There's no cardio there, man. And so I refuse to go that route. I don't want to look that way. And it just makes more sense to keep, you know, things moving for me. And it works for my body. So, you know, many personal trainers will probably disagree with me. But I found that what I do, you know, works for my body. And the results, you know, end up is, you know, what do I look like? And it's working right now. If I don't have any weights, then push-ups and sit-ups are the substitute. So if I'm in a hotel
really
that doesn't have a gym, sit-ups and push-ups, easy, no problem.
Perfect. So that's what you do on the road. So if you've got nothing, you can always fall back on push-ups and sit-ups.
Always, yeah. And typically that where I stay, there's always a gym. But, you know, if there isn't, sometimes, you know, I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. You know, if the course is starting at 8, I got to shower at like, you know, 6:30 or 7, you know, to get ready, study a little bit. I don't want to go to the gym, you know. I got to go all the way down, and I make this covenant with myself. It's like I'm not going to take the elevator coming back up, so I got to take the steps, right? And so I'm all, you know, I'm perspiring. I take a shower. I'm perspiring after the shower. It takes me like, you know, 20 minutes just to, you know, calm my body down. Last thing I want is a wet dress shirt going on stage, right? So I just kind of stay in my room and I do some push-ups, and that's, you know, I don't go overboard with it. It just, as long as I have some exercise, then you know, I'm doing okay. And be in back of the stage, you know, what I'll do sometimes when I'm speaking is I'll do some you know, knee dips. I'll hold onto a table and I'll go, you know, lean back, and I'll do some very slow knee dips. So by the time I get on stage, my calves and my my quads are sore, and that feels good on stage. You know, like I feel like I've done something.
So you've got a real knack for integrating fitness and exercise into some of the most unlikely places for a lot of people. I think anybody could do that.
It's filler, yeah. It's filler.
So not having a gym is just no excuse. You can work out anywhere.
See, I don't do it from a. Again, I don't want to sound like this milk and cookie boy, like I'm being a good boy and I do this. It's just fun for me. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I get to. And it's fun. I mean, it's a great way to pass the time. And plus, if I'm nervous or if it's a new group or I don't know any of the people in the audience, there's nothing that gets my mind off of what I'm about to say, or is it going to come off well? Are they going to get me, You know, am I going to build rapport like I want to? Nothing gets my mind or gets me out of my head faster than exercise.
Oh, I think that's such a killer tip for any professional speaker or anybody who works with audiences on stage. That's awesome, Alex. You're so right. I got to agree with you with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I do coach professional speakers. Typically, it's on their style and skills of how to deliver, but if I were actually to get paid for doing it and not do it as favors all the time, I would get them into a physical routine before anything else because, you know, I think Tony Robbins says it, you know, emotion is driven by motion. So once you get them out of their head, they being the speaker, the fastest and easiest way to do that is just get them to do something where their attention is away from their speech and it's on their physical body. So they're too tired or they're not focused on their talk, and then they have a lot more sharpness and intensity on their delivery because they're going on stage, you know, not trying to digest their breakfast. That's another thing. I never eat a big breakfast in the morning when I'm speaking. It's always fruit, always water-based foods. I don't have any carbs or anything like that because it just kind of weighs me down and I'm ready to fall asleep by, you know, 11 a.m.
Awesome. So light breakfast before you go on, and you feel
100%.
Great.
I feel great, yeah. My biggest meal of any day is always lunch.
Always lunch. How the Spanish do it.
Yeah, it's my biggest meal, and I don't take 2 hours off. But you know what I'll do during the day? My favorite, I have it on, you know, I have Comcast, so it's always on demand. But I watch through all of the, I don't know if you know the series called The Office, you know, with Steve Carell. I watch that show, and the reason I watch it because it's funny to me. I love that humor. It's 21 minutes. You know, it's not an hour. And I can sneak one of those in during the day where it's just kind of like, you know, a nice little break during the middle of the day where I'm just getting my mind off of work, and it's not physical. So physical is not the only way to get your mind off of, you know, what you need to do. You know, you can use comedy as a result. People have used comedy to get rid of disease. You know, Norman Cousins did that. So it's total integration, and the physical just supports every other part of your life if you make it fun.
So we're going to wrap it up right there. That's going to conclude part 3 out of 4 for my interview with Alex Mondozian. If you remember at the very beginning of this episode where I introduced the phone call with Alex, this at least the third part of it, I mentioned that there are going to be times or parts of this interview that you're going to hear things from Alex that we don't necessarily agree with. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that we haven't proved it false, and we certainly haven't proved it true. So one point in particular is when he mentioned about his tactic of working out, doing his cardio at an intense level, and then just coming to a complete stop because he believes that it burns pure fat and not sugar. And he got that information from John Gray. Now, I personally haven't been able to find any information that supports that. I've looked into it myself because it contradicts what I've learned about how the body works and human physiology and biology, but I'm not saying it's wrong. I just haven't been able to prove it true, nor have I really been able to prove it false because I really don't have a way of doing that. So this is a very interesting little tidbit that maybe we can use to do a little research on. If you run into any solid research that supports for or against that idea, please send it my way. I'd love to find out more and see what you find. Just send it to tom@veganbodyrevolution.com. And the next episode I want you to look forward to is I ask Alex, how do you stay in such good shape when you travel so much? I mean, this man does so many gigs throughout the year. He's doing, on average, about one every week, pretty much. I mean, he's doing close to 100 or so gigs every single year, and he's able to stay in amazing shape. He's got a six-pack. So how do you do it when you're in the United States 1 second, flying to Singapore the next, going to the East Coast the next week, and then going back to the West Coast and living out of hotel rooms and airports and airplanes? How do you pull it off? He's going to show you exactly how he does it in the next episode. And let me not forget to mention, if you haven't downloaded your free copy of the Vegan Muscle Building Guide, go to veganmusclebook.com and get it right away. Also, connect with us online. How did you like this episode? Please leave a comment on our blog or on our Facebook page. Go to veganbodyrevolution.com or facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. Also, don't forget to leave a review. If you like this episode and you feel that we deserve 5 stars, please leave a review on iTunes. It helps us so much. It helps us get noticed and get this information out to more people who are looking for more information on how to get in better shape on a vegan diet, and even off a vegan diet, because as you can tell with this content that I've been giving you, it doesn't matter what diet that you're on. And finally, if there's any way that you feel that I can help you achieve the next level in your fitness, please don't hesitate to give me an email. Send it to tom@veganbodyrevolution.com. Well, thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you tune in to part 4 of my interview with Alex Mondozian. This is Thomas Tadlock from the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.